No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis today, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. This is Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so, you know, since last week, I don't know, we may have brought a new, part-time member into the fold here, Keith. Mean dude. Mean dude who challenged me last week on the show and, told us a little bit about his story, has bonded with Captain Dennis. They've been exchanging pictures all week of planes, just to be right. Clear. Just as far as I know.
So they say.
Yeah. I mean, there could be other pictures that I'm not aware of. But I was included on some of these exchanges. And, Dennis sent his pictures of his plane. And he goes, hey, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. And, you know, they kind of went back and forth. Once again, I just got one thread. There could be another with thread. Do you care to elaborate, Dennis, or should you just take the
thread? And I just stayed away from it altogether.
Well, it's not quite as risque, although, my airplane is showing a little more skin than his is.
Ah, yes. Well, skin to win.
That's
and
right.
Because yours is all tore up.
That's right. It is in the shop.
Yeah, I mean, that is a spaghetti mess of cables and all kinds of... I mean, it's just, you look at it, you're like, oh, brother. I mean, it looks like the back of our studio equipment, engineering box.
It's only maybe a little better organized.
Possibly.
And that's not saying much. It is quite a mess in there. I mean, I think that this is probably the first time that this amount of work has been done since the airplane was delivered.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at cables that were put in place back in 1982, and I don't think they've been touched since.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw the exchange between you and Mean Dude. And it was interesting because he didn't seem to be fazed by that at all. He's like, wow, that's a beautiful looking plane. There's all these cables hanging out of the dash and stuff. And it's like all tore up and all he can say, oh, that is an awesome looking plane.
So and it is. I mean, you get to see the bones of it at this point. And you know that it's, okay, it's a little rough right now. Mm-hmm. It looks really daunting for someone to take a look at this and go, is that ever going to go back together?
Right.
But I have a lot of faith and trust in this shop. I've seen their work and, it's just a matter of playing Chenga and, pulling the right cables here and plugging this in there. And I trust them that they will do this and do it right and make it look better than it was before we started.
Right. Did you say they play Chenga or is that
Chenga? Pull this here and oop, this falls down and plug this in here and yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that's what went into aviation installs, but that kind of makes sense.
Sometimes it's better not to watch.
You don't want to see how the sausage is made, but yeah.
It's kind of like taking a brand new pickup truck and having the bedliner, like a spray-in bedliner put in it.
Right.
And the first thing that they do, pull the bolts out and take a grinder to it. It's like you don't want to see that on your brand new truck.
Yeah. Yeah, it would just kind of makes your blood, cringe a little bit, or you just tighten up. It's very stressful. So
yes.
Just let the professionals do it. Turn away until it's all nice and neat and finished, and you go in like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Sometimes you don't know won't hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and sometimes taking advantage of this work is actually good for you, too. I'm up there almost every day checking on progress or picking parts up. I'm trying to do some stuff on the side, while they have it all ripped apart. Now's a good time to go and take, like, the plastic interior panels that have maybe got some cracks and stuff from the last 35 years. And do a little bit of refurbishment work on it.
Wait a minute. Now, if you're one of those guys, I'm starting to wonder if the mechanic's going, oh, brother, not again. Here he is.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened because he's looking over my shoulder.
I just come in and leave, or they ask questions. Hey, what do you want to do here? But I did actually go and pick up the interior panels, and I've got them sitting next to me right now. We've been doing some crack repair and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, these pieces of plastic have been in a hot airplane, in the sun, and in the hangar, and in the cold for 35 years, and they are starting to show a little bit of wear and tear. So it seemed like a good opportunity to get in there and, you know, fix some of this, and we'll give it a nice little touch-up and spiffy it all up inside, so when it goes back together, it'll look better than it came out.
Okay. Well, but you're keeping your mechanic on your good side, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Like bringing him lunch. You know, here's a
brought him donuts the second day.
Okay, I know it. All right. Got to keep him brown. You know, keep brown nosing. I mean, at least till the job's done. Now it's a lot of work. You know, the neat thing is we've been working with Pario. They're putting in a system. Avidyne's going to do some stuff. Right, we're getting all this done at once. Is that going to happen, or what do we think?
Yeah, that is what we're working with. You know, we had once we got the panel pulled apart to put in just the GPS. You know, we started talking to the shop about, hey, you know, while you're in there, and I'm sure every airplane owner around has uttered those words, and they're probably the most dangerous thing to your checkbook. But you know, it just seems to make a lot of sense. We've already got this much work done just to get at that one transponder that. It'd be kind of dumb to not take advantage of this and put a few other upgrades in at the same time.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so the time frame, we hope, you're like the official install of all the new stuff actually will start like Monday, right? If things go as planned.
If things go as planned, yes.
And then by showtime next week, we might have a complete plane. Could it happen that quick?
I hope so. The original quote I got when we first started talking about, hey, if we go the nuclear option and just replace everything, how long would it take? And he told me about 8 days in their shop. Well, 3 days of that was just to get the transponder in because we still had to pull the interior out in order to be able to run GPS antenna lines and things from the front of the panel to the back of the plane. Mm-hmm. So we've already had to do all of that prep work. So really, it's not a lot of extra you know, to have to rip apart the interior to get all that in place.
Yeah. So the hard stuff has been done.
Right.
Now it's just putting in the new gear, you know, tightening some bolts and plugging some stuff in. And
wiring it all up and making it all talk to each other, which the previous GPS that was in this airplane was never fully hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't tie into all of the systems, and it wasn't legal for IFR. So now, when we get this thing back, I'll have not one, but two fully IFR-capable GPSs that'll be tied into the autopilot, and, you know, it'll be a much, much more useful airplane.
Got it. Now, obviously, I mean, I hear the excitement in his voice, and he's very monotone, but he is excited. Can you tell, Keith?
I can tell.
Other than the little cracks in the interior stuff that you're doing, have you found any other things when they opened it up? I'm like, well, I ought to go ahead and do this too.
None of that's actually
popped up yet, has it?
No, and one of the things that I had never personally seen the inside, you know, behind the panels since I bought the plane. Mm-hmm. But one of the concerns that I had was, you know, did they comply with a service bulletin from Mooney years ago? So the Mooney's unique in the GA world in that it's actually got a steel frame that completely encloses the cockpit area. Mm-hmm. It's not just riveted aluminum like a Piper or a Cessna. And what they found was that if the windows leaked at all and you left it outside, water can get trapped in the insulation, which then sits on those those steel tubes and can rust the interior. Well, Mooney recommended that you get in and replace that fiberglass with a different type of insulation. And so I was very pleased when we pulled that interior off and I see shiny metal foil in there and not old school fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a lot of confidence that this airplane's got good bones and is going to last a long time.
Very good. So nothing else in the interior stuff you're putting in, there was just like a crack on. That was more like
it's cosmetic.
Appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm starting to look at a few other things, too. Like, well, geez, that carpet's original, and it's got a lot of sun fade. You know, it was a nice dark blue, and now it's kind of a faded light blue and threadbare. Maybe we got this apart. Well, since it's open, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, how hard is it to do that? It wouldn't be that hard if you have it all tore up already, right?
It's actually not.
It's all about the money. All about the Benjamins.
It is exactly that. I did make a call yesterday to a company that makes interior kits where they come pre-cut and bound and everything. You can just literally drop it or glue it in, however you attach it. And they're sending me a paper template and some samples to look at so I can see what the colors actually look like and what the materials are, and we'll see. The neat part is they're in my hometown, actually conveniently located just down the street from the Cirrus factory. So
wow.
Now I have an excuse to go see Mom and Dad.
Brand new plane when he gets it back, Keith.
Almost.
I'm excited because I can't wait to fly in a brand new plane like that.
At least it'll have new airplane smell.
It will.
Greg gets in it.
Well.
I'll break it in real quick. Yeah, we'll head off to the Mexican place for lunch and then do some flying around in the afternoon. I say 30 minutes will do it.
If that.
If that. Are you changing the seats too? You might need to.
No, not yet. I'm going to wait on those.
Okay. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag?
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot, it's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. This is some sexy leaning, pouring coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition, got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Craig, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis.
I'm drunk on a plane.
We're not on a plane, so we could be or may not be drunk. So we'll just leave it at that for now. All right, so a lot of stuff going on in the news, aviation-wise. It even broke into the mainstream media this week with this crash in Russia And I don't know. What did you hear about that, Keith?
Well, I just heard that it was an Antonov 148 that went down.
Yeah.
And it's carrying 71 people, I think.
Something like that. 70-something people, yeah.
It was back on Monday. So
it was not good, obviously.
Certainly not good, and it kind of ruins the non-airline incidents that we've had. We've had a pretty good run.
Mm-hmm. So with that one crash, I don't know what happens next. I mean, what are they doing in Russia? They don't have NTSB there, right? Or
They have their own version of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know what it's called there, but
I think it's called the Air Investigation Board. I think they call it, or Air Incident Board, something like that.
You have to say it with a Russian accent.
Da.
Maybe
that's not me though.
Dennis, you want to give it a shot?
No, I'm not even going to try.
Because I know I can't do a Russian accent either. So, anyway, what are you hearing, Dennis? What are they saying? What are the first reports?
Well, a lot of it's speculation, but right. they're trying to point the finger at probably some sort of icing.
It's all speculation.
Right.
Exactly.
But with the low temperatures and high humidities, they think that they either had ice in the engine, or I saw a report this morning that there was a discrepancy between the air instruments between the pilot co-pilot. So they think maybe that either like pitot tubes froze, or some of the engine instrumentation was iced over, possibly giving incorrect data and causing a problem with the autopilot.
Hmm.
So they got going too slow.
Plenty of experience flying in that kind of cold weather.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this airline was also shut down a while back.
Oh, yeah? For what?
For maintenance issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I guess we will have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably 2 years before we find anything out.
Yeah. Well, as far as the long run, I mean, how long has it been? I know you like to kind of follow that stuff.
It's been almost 2 years.
Since a major incident that?
The last one was the one in San Francisco.
Hmm. That they overshot the runway?
I think it was San Francisco, wasn't it? Yeah.
Aviana?
Yep.
Yep.
And I think that was
Air Asia.
I think that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. But even with this one, it's still, commercial air travel has a pretty awesome safety record, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And the U.S., those have all been foreign carriers, so the U.S. carriers are still, that's a pretty long run for the U.S. carriers themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to continue?
I sure hope it continues.
Well, who wouldn't?
As an airline passenger, I hope it continues.
Yes, of course. I mean, do you think, things haven't gotten lax, I wouldn't say.
Well, no.
Have they?
No.
They're just, kind of maintaining right now?
Yeah, a lot of things have been, each time an accident or an incident happens, it's obviously a tragedy, but we learn an awful lot from them, and new things go into play.
Right.
And so we have ground proximity warning systems on these the newer airplanes, and all the different channels of that have all been inspired unfortunately, by deaths.
Yeah.
And so each time this happens, we learn something, we put something new into practice that hopefully prevents any incidents from happening in the future.
Well,
it's been the case for quite some time now.
Dennis?
As I've been studying for my commercial rating, you look at a lot of the rules and regulations that are out there, and if you take a look at them, with a critical eye, you actually realize that, do we even need to have these regulations written down? And then you realize that they are, because they were written in blood. I mean, somebody did something dumb that should be common sense, and we have to have rules in place now to prevent it from happening again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the fact that the record in the U.S. has been so good, I think that only plays to the FAA's advantage too, as far as the potential of ATC privatization. Do you think, if I'm making that connection?
If you listen to our president, he claimed that the safety record is because he's very tough on commercial aviation. So, we can't discount that, right?
Well, I guess not. But, yeah, he put it out there as a proposal again.
Yes, he sure did.
Yeah. So he's still pushing for ATC privatization, but they're saying there's no chance it's going to go anywhere.
Well, but that also means we can't let up our opposition to it. So,
right.
But make
do you
sure
think
you,
connecting those two issues, the fact that we have such a great safety record, plays to the advantage of not taking it private?
I think it plays a lot to that advantage, because the minute you do take it private, now all of a sudden there's a money decision. It's right. You know, what is cost effective for us? Do we continue to fund, you know, these investments in something that doesn't really pay off to us as an airline, where 90% of our flights are, or do we worry about that 10%? Well, true. I think I want them focusing on all of it.
Yeah, well, I would agree. But on the other side of the coin, if God forbid we do have an incident, you know, does it come back and play the other side? You know what I mean?
I think it would play well for the airlines, but I don't think it'll play well for general aviation in many facets. But I think what you're going to find out is, if general aviation is affected the way we think it's going to be, general aviation pilots are going to end up flying in weather that they're not suited for.
What do you mean?
And airplanes are not suited for, because they're going to be given more time slots, and you have to go during this time slot. And if you don't go, you're cut out.
Well, you mean if privatization were to happen?
Correct.
And you think that will lead to...
to more general aviation accidents.
Just because they'll have more narrow time slots and they'll be forced to make a decision to go into this place that they shouldn't.
Yep. I got to get here, and this is the only time I can go, so I'm going to go anyway. And it's just going to be poor decision making. Whereas now, they can leave at any time that they want.
But why would privatization affect that?
Because the airlines are going to take over control.
And they're going to say, you can only fly at this particular time?
It'll be more of a time slot thing than anything else. Right now, you can take off basically any time you want.
Right.
If you're going to go VFR, get a clearance through the tower, take off. Or if you're in an uncontrolled field, you just take off. IFR, you have to get into a slot. You know, mm-hmm. That's going to be a little bit more controlled, if you will. Right?
Yeah.
They have to be able to work you through the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the airlines get what they really want, especially in the busy cities, it's going to be corridors that they're going to allow and time slots that they're going to allow general aviation into. And that's going to cause a major problem.
Something to think about. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith, Dennis, rounding out the crew. All right, so sharks could actually make our flying more efficient. And you say, how? Well, because evidently there's been some research on the scales of sharks, specifically the Mako, which is kind of known as like the fastest shark in the sea, short fin Mako. And they're saying the scales on a shark could be studied and used to like use the skin of an airplane to make them more efficient, like, you know, flying through the air. So you could have like a shark plane. How cool would that be? Would you want one of those, Dennis? Yeah?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if it saves me gas and makes it go faster. I think I saw that same article, and what they were looking at was a feature of the shark's scales called a denticle, and they say
right.
It acts kind of like a little vortex generator, helping keep the airflow on our airplane, but, you know, the water flows around the shark skin the same way and can actually help reduce the drag.
Yeah. I mean, it could, you could put this as part of the airfoil design or whatever, or the cross-section of the plane wing, and put these little denticles on it and say...
Or figure some way to incorporate it into the coating, you know, into the paint or whatever.
Right. And then you can, you know, say, my plane has been shark-enhanced or something. I mean, that would just... that would be cool sounding at the bare minimum, whether it actually does anything or not. You know? I mean, then all the planes ought to be named after a famous shark. Like, what do you got? I'm flying a great white. What about you? Oh, I got the Mako. Ooh.
I got the Mooney Mako. Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool technology. And I think, you know, it could be, that could be something.
Would it turn out like Sharknado?
Well, it could be. Flying sharks. I mean, it's the first step. So, you know.
I mean, ultimately, that's what you're hoping for, Greg.
True.
Because you want to be in your own movie.
Well, he's already done that once.
I've already done Sharknado.
I know that. That's why you'd like to do it again.
Well, yeah. I'd like to be planes and sharks. Actually, I think they've done that, too. They've had a flying...
Sharks on a plane?
Something like that, yeah. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew today. Got some cool news from Fort Lauderdale Internet, well, let's see, Fort Lauderdale Executive, right? And that's a very popular general aviation airport down there in South Florida because... It's a perfect hub to cross over to the Bahamas, which is going to probably be a route we take next time in Captain Dennis's Mooney when we head that way. Wouldn't you think, Keith? Would that be the way to go?
It would be a very good way to go.
Yeah. And
Banyan Aircraft Services there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Why do you need them?
Well, you don't need them, but
they got a nice FBO there.
Yeah.
With free cappuccinos.
Very nice FBO there, and it's a right next door to Customs.
Right. But, hey, we don't really care that much anymore because we don't have to actually meet with the customs guys because they put in those kiosks. Now, they're just like at Miami International. So a general aviation person can come in their plane and just do the fingerprint thing, do global entry if you have that, and you don't even have to talk to anyone hardly anymore to go through customs. That is a big plus. That's nice.
That's a huge plus.
Yeah. And hopefully,
I don't know of anybody who enjoys talking to a customs official.
Yes, because you know what goes through your mind as soon as you go up to the counter and you say, "It's like, all right, am I going to be the cavity search guy of the day?" You know.
Well, when you look
he's pulling out his gloves,
yes,
right, and yeah. They smack.
Well, unfortunately,
snap.
Customs has not figured out. Well, I guess it's going all that way all over the place. But you're guilty until proven innocent here.
Yeah. They definitely, well, some of them can have a little bit of an attitude.
Yes.
And not much sense of humor. So you got to be careful. And me being, you know, the...
comedian that you are.
Well, I've never tried out my material on a customs agent. I'm that smart not to do so. So anyway, I love this idea. I mean, I will
Help
say...
Help yourself to the salad bar. I'll be here all week.
Yeah.
Yes, but there's no salad bar, Greg.
Okay. But I do love the fact that they have these kiosks there now because I'll tell you, my last couple visits through Miami International have been like, wow, what a difference, you know, when you can just go up to the Global Entry kiosk. And if you don't have Global Entry and you're a pilot and you're flying anywhere like a couple times even out of the country a year, oh my gosh, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. To just go up to that kiosk and literally be through customs and grab your bag and you're out of the airport and checking into another flight in no time or getting your car or whatever and going home. It is
well, there's even an alternate for that, too. There's a mobile passport app that you can get. If you go out to the Department of State's website, they'll actually show you, you know, tell you what it is. And I think it's just... It's like mobile passport or something like that.
Right.
But it's an app that you use on your phone, and you take a photo, you know, use the app to actually capture your passport information, you know, that front page with all of the computer-readable text in it.
Yep.
You do that, and then you take a selfie of yourself, and there's actually, it's just like the global entry kiosks. You can actually bypass the normal queues and go to a dedicated line. My daughter and I used that coming back from the Turks and Caicos because she didn't have global entry and I did. And so I didn't want to leave her in the regular line. So we tried out this mobile passport and it was literally 1 minute to go through.
Yeah. And it's free.
That's the best part.
Exactly.
Yep. So if you're only doing it a couple times a year, it just you would be doing yourself a disservice to not put it on your phone and use it.
Well, true. For sure. I will tell you, though, I still think.
And not everybody has global entry.
Well, they don't. So. But global entry is still, I think, way worth it. I mean, $100.
Oh, well, that includes your TSA pre-check, too.
Yeah, 5 years, and includes your TSA pre-check as well. And so I think it's well worth the $100. I mean, even though the other stuff is free.
The mobile passport is valuable if they don't have the global entry.
True, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the way you want to go, for sure, if you don't have it. You have that in a pinch, but I still think global entry is well worth $100. And there's a lot of credit cards, by the way, now that offer some deal. Like if you get this particular credit card from American or Delta or whatever, they'll actually credit you free global entry once every 5 years. So it can be one of the benefits of your credit card service. So just something to think about, a little extra tip for your. You know, for our flying travelers, if they haven't already looked into that themselves. Now, here's another story that I just love this, because I'm like the exact opposite of this guy. There's this guy who wants to learn how to fly, but he's a stutterer. And, you know, obviously you got to talk on the radio if you're going to learn to fly an airplane. And ironically, he got up in the airplane and realized that he didn't stutter. So, like Keith, we were talking about this during the commercial break. You said, "Well, there's people who stutter who sing perfectly like a bird and don't have any problem at all, but when they start talking, they're humming, 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 And
Ed is like that. Well, I don't know if he sings.
Yeah, I was going to say I've never heard him sing,
but he does stutter.
He stutters. I don't hear him stutter that much, really. So I thought
you were
saying,
don't ever listen to it.
Well, I thought you were going to say he stutters when he sings and he doesn't when he speaks.
No.
Okay. Because, see, I'm kind of the opposite. I mean, I have no problem talking on the radio here with you guys now. But as we found out when we got up in the airplane initially, I was like, hum nom 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 nom.
Yeah, he has a very, very difficult time with that.
Well, I did initially. And it really was just not knowing what I was supposed to say. If I know or have an idea of
you
where
have
I'm
no idea what you're supposed to say here either, so what's
it's years of tap dancing lessons have got me in the verbal sense of doing it. I know how to kind of get my way out of problems, talking on the radio here, or I just
we'll let our listening audience be the judge of that one.
True. I didn't say I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination. However, when I got up in the airplane initially, I mean, I was like, what do I do?
We even had it written down for him, and he still couldn't do it.
Well, yeah, I had to read on top of speaking. If that makes
How many
sense.
Of your students are in this same situation, Keith?
You have that issue? Have you ever had a stutterer up there?
Well, maybe not a stutterer, but
that stutters, but we have a lot of that are, they are intimidated by the microphone.
Right.
It's much, much better nowadays that they just use their headset instead of having to actually hold that microphone up.
Is that what they used to do back in the day? You have to literally hold it?
That's the way I learned how to fly, yes.
How old are you? You are ancient.
Yes, I am.
Well, the plane I learned to fly didn't even have an intercom headsets that
you... Well, you just yelled at each other, hey, tower, I'm
yes,
coming by!
That's exactly what we did.
Slapped in the head with a sectional.
That's exactly what we did.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah, the little microphone was down in the center console of the little Cessna 150, and you'd reach down and grab that mic and hold it and then have to put it back in the cradle while you're making your turns in the pattern. And,
The good old days.
Oh, yeah. Nostalgia.
Hmm. Well, we don't have to do that. We just speak into this little thing. And what you're saying, being that they don't have to hold it, that made it less intimidating?
Yes, because they don't actually see a microphone now.
Yeah.
They have the boom mic, but they're talking back and forth to the instructor all the time in that, so they don't feel quite as intimidated by it.
Okay.
But as soon as they press that button and they have to say something,
they lose their minds.
This time you have to press a button to say something. They just kind of,
Yeah.
And so we write it out for them,
mm-hmm.
and they still have difficulty
for me,
doing it.
Is it. You're looking right at me when you say this.
Yes, I am.
Well, that's why I was saying, if I know what I'm supposed to say, usually I can do it. Sometimes I'll have problems reading. I have two issues. I have an issue speaking, and I have an issue reading. When you put two together, oh, it's a mess.
It's a really good example of how people say that, hey, I can multitask. You don't worry about me. I can multitask. Not everybody can multitask, and anytime anybody does multitask, something degrades. And reading and speaking on the microphone at the same time is a good example of how something degrades.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, by the way, if anybody has not figured this out already, every episode of Just Plain Radio is written out to the absolute syllable. Can you tell?
Yeah, where's my notes for this week?
What is that I smell? Yeah, anyway, yeah, it is getting a little deep in here, and we'll just end it at that. That's what it says right here on my script, I swear. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Come on and fly. Makes everything alright. Way up in the sky. Yeah, yeah. Got to feel alive. I wanna fly.
Well, you're in the right place because this is Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. I am Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Dennis, there is some news about the Air Force fleet. Is that right?
That's right.
What do we know?
Well, the Air Force obviously is having, you know, many problems with, you know, crew shortages and retention and aging aircraft, and they're looking at, apparently in the new Trump budget, there's quite a bit of money being put in place to upgrade and modernize the fleet, purchasing more of the F-35 Lightnings, increasing their order for the new tanker aircraft, and continuing development of some new the new B-21 bomber. And all of this kind of puts together a picture for the Air Force of, you know, what's the fleet going to look like going forward. And there was another article I saw earlier this week talking about how the B-52 is expected to outlast many of the newer, more modern bombers that have come on since the B-52 was first introduced back in the late 50s. They're talking about, you know, retiring the B-1 and even the B-2 stealth bomber, and yet through engine upgrades and some modernization, they expect the B-52 to continue to fly through 2050.
Why is that? Because the stealth and all those were too, like, high-techy and kind of were a cool idea, but they ended up being way, way too untraditional, maybe, you think, or what?
I don't know if it maybe just the focus of the mission was just too narrow. I mean, the B-1 was designed to be supersonic and, you know, evade enemy radar and get in, you know, and go bomb Russia. Well, Russia's not our enemy now, you know, or at least not to the extent that it was back when the airplane was designed in the Cold War. You know, now we're dealing with, you know, insurgents and, you know, more urbanized warfare, and the B-52 can bring a big, big hurt, you know, a long distance.
So they think this thing will end up staying in service for like 100 years is what you were saying?
Well, you know, the first B-52s flew in the mid-50s, early to mid-1950s, and they're expecting to keep them flying till 2050. Can you imagine a jet bomber in service for 100 years?
Well, what makes it designated as a warbird?
That'll be an interesting, just the fatigue aspects of it.
Well, true. But what does, when does it, you need to get that, Keith?
I do. Obviously, I need to turn this off because it's on silent.
What is going on? Yeah, you go on, Keith. We'll just talk amongst ourselves. He's got business to take care of, obviously. All right. So anyway, but what makes a plane like that like the B-52 bomber, maybe is it already considered a warbird at the shows or no?
Well, I would think technically it is. I mean, warbird was any airplane that had a military background. Well, the B-52 definitely fits that bill.
Warbird doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how old the plane is, or does it? I mean, because I always think,
I would consider a strike, you know, an F-35 Lightning or a F-22 Raptor. I would consider those warbirds, you know, even though they're new.
That's
frontline.
That's probably true. Yeah. I just kind of think of those old classic, Air Force planes.
Yeah. Stuff. When we go to Warbird Lane at Oshkosh, you know, we're wanting to go see P-51 Mustangs and T-6s and Corsairs, but you know. Eventually, those airplanes, I mean, are going to wind up there. I mean, I'd love to see an F-4 Phantom from Vietnam shows up on the Warbird ramp occasionally, too.
Right. Well, that would be kind of cool, for sure. I mean, it is to see them. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think that, you know, that plane is going to be flying 100 years old. And it could be still doing its business then.
Yeah. And there's only about maybe, you know, a handful of other airplanes that I can see, you know, still in regular service after 100 years, the DC-3 being another one, you know.
True, yeah. How old is that one? That one's been around a long time.
Came out in the 30s. So
okay. So it's
I think
up
it
there.
Just had, it, yeah, and the Piper Cub just had 75-year anniversary or birthday this year.
Okay. So. All right. Well, but the DC-3s, I mean, they're not really being used as far as anything other than people that kind of fix them up and stuff.
No, actually, they're in commercial scheduled service still.
Where?
You know, up in northern Canada, the ICE pilots.
They use those?
They use DC-3s for regular scheduled service. And there's a Basler Turbo Conversions out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, actually takes DC-3 airframes and modernizes them and replaces the old radial engines with turbines. So they're putting the PT-6 turboprop engine out of a Cessna Caravan onto the wings of an old DC-3, stretching it. And it's perfect for heavy loads into small airstrips, rural areas. And they're cranking those things out still.
Well, they used to have service of DC-3s into Bimini in the Bahamas not even, 10, 15 years ago and for the same thing. But it was kind of like a retro flight that you could take, and they kind of did it old school. They had the little stewardesses and the whole thing serving everybody. It was a pretty cool thing, but it obviously didn't last.
Yeah, people don't like that too much anymore. Want the speed.
They want the speed. Well, I mean, it's only 40 miles.
Yeah, but we're not into nostalgia in this country.
You don't think so? You don't want to bring
low
that back?
Low cost.
Most I wouldn't mind it. I mean,
yeah,
DC-3
well, obviously,
is one,
we just heard
airplane.
Your phone.
Yeah. That's right.
He's got like one of those old ringer things. He likes to talk into the microphone.
It's wired,
too. Holds in the cockpit and supposed to on his headset. He's just, yeah, he's a classic, we like to say. Classic Keith.
I am old.
I think there's a market for that, but as far as I didn't know, the Canadians up there were flying those in regular service. That's kind of interesting. So, yeah, this stuff can be kept up as long as you keep up the structural integrity
keep
of
up the maintenance.
And that's the plane. That's the key, the structural maintenance.
Yeah. As long as that holds, you just let it fly forever. It's a nice thought, huh?
It is a very nice thought.
Okay, and we'll leave it at that then. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.